Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Good to feel the presence of the Lord. And He's in the midst. Amen. Two or three are gathered together in His name. And I tell you, the Lord's given me a thought tonight. Really just a text. And it's something that's near and dear to my heart. I have been on this earth for 29 years. I've seen so much spiritual decline, even in my lifetime. A turning away from truth in my lifetime. I mean, I'm just 29, and not even counting the time that I wasn't saved. I mean, you're talking 20 years being saved, and I've seen it go downhill. And you say, well, that's awful negative, and that's a sad story. I believe we can do something about it, amen? I believe God has given us direction in His Word. He's given us hope. Amen. We have hope in eternal life. You know, when the Bible talks about hope, it's not a hope as in we think whenever, you know, you might think it come to pass. You hope it's going to come to pass. It may come to pass. But we hope in eternal life. This hope's in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in His return. Until then, God's given us a job to do. And the text tonight that God's laid on my heart is Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And God is, I know I've preached out of it before. It's been a while. And the Lord blesses this passage of Scripture. And I believe it's true. And this is one of the cases in which, although this was to a group of people way back yonder, we can make application tonight. We can make an application that speaks to our heart and is relevant to the day and hour in which we're living. You know, there's some, in our Sunday school class, we've talked about dispensationalism some, and really the main point that I want to make when I teach on that is that through periods of time, God has worked with men or mankind in such a way that He's, you know, in the beginning He worked with Adam, and whatever you want to divide all that up, I don't split hairs with people on that, but we had the law, amen, then we had grace. You see, they're two different dispensations, but the same God. And so even though this is in a different dispensation, we can still make spiritual application. And what I was getting to is there's preachers today, if it wasn't written by Paul, they don't get a blessing. And I tell you what, you're missing out on a lot if all you're doing is looking in the New Testament, and the Bible is written for us. Every bit of it, all Scripture, amen? And so tonight, I want to make application to this text, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Many of you could probably quote this verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. For introduction tonight, I'd like for us to have a little bit of an understanding about what's leading up to this passage of Scripture. The prophet Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. You say, well, why is that? He done a lot of weeping. He shed a lot of tears over God's people and the state that they were in. We have no known converts or anyone that ever even listened to the message he was preaching to God's people, though they were in apostasy. But still he preached. And he wept over God's people. He wept over the state that Judah was in. We find here that the northern tribe of Israel had already been taken away into Assyrian captivity. That was an awful time. But, you know, they would have been aware of this, I'm sure. Enough time had passed to where they had an understanding of this happening. But still yet, they failed to recognize that the same thing could happen to them. Or even if they did, they didn't care. But Jeremiah preached anyway. And so, they didn't care. They had a position of apathy, a position of compromise, and still yet, they didn't care. Look where we're at in America today. Amen. We can see, us Bible believers, we can see exactly where we're at concerning the Scriptures and concerning prophecy and concerning Israel. And even as I read this passage here, it talks about coming from the north. I think about Russia. Amen. It's all coming together. And we as God's people are aware, but I tell you, our country just doesn't care, it seems. Although God is sending warning after warning and time again, America doesn't care. And so, yes, we can make application to this tonight. I'm talking about those old paths. Last Sunday night, my brother came, and I was glad that he came, and we sort of introduced ourselves as two young men who believe in the old-time way. I believe in the old-time way, amen. By the grace of God, I won't back down from that as long as God will allow me to live and to preach, amen, to preach what God has given me and the way that He's given it to me. And so here, these paths I want to talk about, I believe, are ones that are typified by being grown over. Paths that are hard to find. Amen. We went on a hike here recently, and the paths were pretty well trodden down. It was easy; they were marked and easy to find. But they some paths are hard to follow. Amen. Because they have been disregarded. They have went without any upkeep, without any maintenance, and nobody has been through there in a while, and it's hard to find those paths. And I believe symbolically tonight, speaking of these old paths and the ones that haven't been trodden down, are ones that are grown over by apathy and compromise. Because someone doesn't care enough, amen, to go the way that's right and the way that are the old paths. Amen. And so even given the fact they have seen this northern captivity and the impending judgment of the Babylonian captivity upon the tribe of Judah, amen, still didn't follow the old paths. He said, we will not walk therein. And so a twofold application I'd like to make tonight, as this is just how God gave it to me, the way it's going to come out by the grace of God, is that number one, we have a private application concerning or a personal application, amen, concerning these old paths. Amen. Do you remember a time, and Brother Chris preached on this last Sunday night, when you was on fire for God, whenever you couldn't get enough of the Word of God, and it wasn't nothing for you to get up, amen, and read an hour of Scripture, and couldn't get enough, amen, and it was time to go to work, and you was disappointed because you couldn't read more, amen. There's a time whenever you prayed and prayed and prayed, and amen, and called out to God. There's a time you couldn't get enough of going to church, you was just waiting for the next revival meeting to go to. Amen. And so I'm talking about a private or a personal, amen, application tonight. Are they some old paths you need to get back to? Amen. But publicly tonight, on a public level, I believe as a result of the failure of many Christians, many of God's people, Brother Elijah, he talked about young and old. I noticed that too, Brother. He talked about old people and young people. Amen. When you're 17 years old, there's no middle. They're either old or young. Amen. If you're past 25, you're old at that age. But there's people young and old, middle age, whatever. Amen. Because of their failure, there's a new generation that don't know what those old paths are. Amen. And so that's kind of the application that I saw in this tonight, as I like the Lord to lead us. And so talking about that public level of making application, I thought about in the opening remarks in the book of Exodus, and how that at one time when Joseph was alive, that the people there, the children of Israel, sort of had an understanding with Egypt, and they sort of lived together there, and they respected him. But the Bible says there arose a king who knew not Joseph. Amen. I'm afraid today that we're raising up a generation that don't know anything about Jesus. Amen. I wonder how many of these doors we're knocking on, and the parent or an adult will come to the door, and the youngin' standing behind that parent doesn't know anything about the gospel, doesn't know anything about Jesus Christ, doesn't know anything about an empty tomb. It's all foreign to them. Amen. It's a generation that doesn't know anything about Jesus. Who's responsible? Amen. I say we get back to the old paths. We went on that hike here recently. and I had a GPS. You say, why'd you have a GPS? I didn't trust your navigation, amen. See, we had a map, and they had new trail made through there, and it wasn't on the map, so that gets real confusing, amen. But that GPS, it has two capabilities that I know of. One of them is that you can backtrack. You can go back the way you came. And there's certainly in our Christian lives times that we've had to kindly backtrack, amen. So if you get turned around and you say, well, you got to do is turn around. Well, when you're on a trail, it looks totally different when you turn around. It don't look the same way as you came. So that backtracking is a good feature to have. The other feature is being able to put in the coordinates into that GPS and to be able to go to somewhere that you've never been before. And so that's the application I want to make tonight. In some cases, we need to backtrack and get to a former state in which we was close to God. And in some cases, we need to get to somewhere that we've never been before. Amen. All the while, it's the old paths. All the while, it's the good way. Amen. And so with the help of the Lord tonight, I'd like to preach a message entitled Getting to the Old Paths. Getting to the Old Paths. Help us pray tonight and ask for the Lord's help on the message. God, we thank you, Lord, for the precious Word of God. We ask tonight, God, that you would enable us, you'd permit us, and God, that you would give us the unction it takes to preach thy precious Word. And God, we believe in the old time way, Lord. Lord, these old paths the Bible speaks of, Lord, help us to walk in them. And Lord, by your grace and your mercy, Lord, help us to be a light to maybe some young person today that's being ridiculed and Lord, that's facing opposition because of the stands that they've taken. I pray, Lord, that something we say or do might help stand with them. And God, help them to realize that they're not alone. And Lord, most of all, if there be any lost in our presence, to not help them to realize, God, of their need of the Lord Jesus Christ and save them before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so tonight I'd like to seek out those old paths and get to the old paths out of this one verse. And just preach out of this verse. This verse begins with the phrase that's found a lot in the Old Testament. And in order to be found in our messages as we preach, thus saith the Lord. Amen. I'm not against quoting men to make an illustration or to make an example. But I tell you what, you better be saying, thus saith the Lord, more than you do, thus saith Dr. So-and-so. Amen. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. This is a word from God. And I tell you what, we better make sure that our word is right and our word is pure. Amen. It's a very important thing. Amen. Why do you think that there's such a battle on this today? Amen. Your modern churches, they don't have any stance upon what Bible you need to use. And they just say, well, just bring whatever. Friend, let me tell you something. A phony Bible makes for a phony message. Amen. Amen. We believe in if you are English speaking people, amen, this King James Bible is the very copy of God's Word for us in this age that we live. Amen. And we as Christians, that ought to be something we never back down from. Amen. The Word of God. Amen. God told him, he said, in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, he said that all men, he said, it's God's will that all men come to the knowledge, amen, of the truth. Amen. What is truth? Truth is the Word of God. And you know what? In order to come to God, in order to be saved, you got to know some things. How do you know them? Out of this book. If your testimony of your salvation goes back to some experience that you had, I'm not saying there's not an experience involved, but if it goes back to something like a dream that you had or a vision in the sky, amen, or something out of the blue, amen, you better be questioning it. But friend, if you can take your story and your testimony back to somebody that was preaching out of the Bible, amen, or something that had to do with the Scriptures, amen, that is how God saves us, amen, by the Word of God. We're begotten by the Word. Amen. How can they preach except to be sent? Amen. It takes the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is what convicts the sinner. The Word of God is what steers us to Him. And we've been talking about that in our Sunday school class, how that the law, amen, was the knowledge of sin. And the law points us to Christ. And this Word of God points us to Him and helps us understand that. And in the times here of Jeremiah, I mean, even though it seemed like he was the only one, he may have been the only one preaching the truth.
amen, even in those times as wicked as that was, I believe comparable to the state that America's in today, amen, God has always still had somebody hanging around, amen, preaching the Word of God. Amen, in Noah's day, amen, things was awful and things was bad, but praise God, He gave Noah a message. He was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. When everybody else was doing their own thing, he was going with God and staying with the old paths, amen. I was talking to a dear man of God yesterday. Amen. Just sort of run into him. I don't believe in coincidences, do you? We got to talking. I guess I was probably complaining a little bit and trying to feel sorry for myself. And he was talking about how that years ago when God called him to preach and all these preachers he was running around with when he was a young preacher and you know, and the times they had and this and that and revival meetings they was in. I said, brother, I've never had any young preachers to run around with. And you know, it's kind of true. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen a young man called to preach. And then this Sunday morning, here out of the blue, here comes Elijah Gentry. 17 years old. God was telling me, yeah, I'm going to have somebody preach my word. God spoke to me through that. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, God's right on time, ain't he? Amen. He can put us in our place right quick. I thank God for that. And so look with me in verse number 10, if you would. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Amen. They weren't dedicated to God. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of God is to them as a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, and the age with him that is full of days. And so he's saying here, who's going to hear the message that I'm preaching? And you know what? In this time, it appears that no one was took time to listen. Amen, or to heed to that word that God sent it for them to hear, and God give a warning. Amen, and the question that I would have, we know that the world today, they're eat up with carnality and eat up with sin. Amen, but how about the Christian today? Are you hearing God's message for you? Amen, we need to have a focus on evangelism and reaching the lost, but how about our walk, amen? Amen, God will send, just as He sends a message and a gospel, and He'll send someone out to reach that lost person. Amen. God will put a pastor in place. He'll put a preacher in place. Amen. To say something to us. Amen. To preach to us. Amen. We need to realize that preaching is what keeps us right with God a lot of the times. Amen. That preaching will straighten us out. I'm talking preaching. Amen. Not somebody giving a little sermonette, amen, something to pat you on the back, amen, what the Bible told us about, the teachers having itching ears, amen, and going away from the truth. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a man of God, amen, that'll take his precious book, amen, and preach what thus saith the word of the Lord. Amen. God's got a message for me and you. Are we listening to it? Are we taking heed to it? God's got a message. And so I thought about this. God brought this to my remembrance. Talking about preaching. God brought to my remembrance years ago. I don't know how old I was whenever I started to get under conviction. I may have been 8 or 9 years old. I was saved when I was almost 10. You know what I remember? I remember preaching on hell. I remember knowing that if I died right then, I'd go to hell. The old man of God, his name is Wayne Perry. He was my pastor back then, and he would get up and he would preach, amen, hell hot and heaven sweet. Amen. He wasn't afraid of offending anybody, and you know what? I know that it was true. I know that hell was just as real, amen, as anything that around me. Amen. I know by it wasn't anything that I had come to know. It wasn't in my mind. I couldn't figure it out, but I know that hell was real. God revealed that to me. Amen. In the spiritual realm, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, hell was real. I also know that Jesus loved me. Amen. He gave His life for me. Amen. And I finally accepted Him. Amen. And received Him. And I thank God for that. But I was reminded of the message of hell. That same preacher that I talked to yesterday, he told me that God had led him the last 3 Sundays at his church to preach on hell. I thought, boy, we don't hear much preaching on hell anymore. Amen. I'm sure that these churches that's never preached on hell. I know we ain't going to preach it every time as far as, amen, just every message on hell, but, I mean, we're going to preach on it, amen, when God leads us to. Amen, because it gives us reality of eternity. Number one, we see, amen, the need for the sinner to understand the reality of eternity. And number two, amen, it gives us as Christians motivation to serve Him and motivation, amen, to go out to the world into the highways and hedges, amen, and try to pull them out of the fire, amen. Gives us urgency, a sense of urgency, amen, and to pray and to seek. And I just wonder, amen, tonight, speaking of this message, thus saith the word of the Lord. God is sending a message. And I guarantee you, in hell tonight, amen, there's people screaming, amen, for just one little bit of water to cool their tongue, just as the rich man did. They're in physical, absolute torment tonight. Amen. And I guarantee you, they would give anything to have another opportunity to hear a gospel message, amen, that's sent from God, amen, from some preacher that they didn't even regard whenever they was walking this earth. I guarantee you they would love to have an opportunity, amen, to be in a gospel church, in a Bible-believing church, and to have a man of God take a text and preach a gospel message and be saved. I guarantee you they'd love to have that opportunity. But, you know, unfortunately, at that point it's too late. But it's not too late right now. If you're alive, you're breathing, it's not too late. Amen. God can save you. Amen. God can set you free. Amen. I was headed for hell one day, but thank God He saved me. And thank God I'm not going to hell. And I bless His name for it. And so, in chapter number 7, He begins another message. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, proclaim there His word. You know, I've talked about this before. These preachers, I know of a preacher one time, it's a big church, and if I named it, you'd know it around here. But he didn't want to be called preacher. Or he didn't want to be called a preacher. He wanted to be called teacher and that sort of thing. He didn't want to be identified with preaching or anything. He was a fulfillment of our word that says teachers have an itch in ears. Amen? He didn't have anything to do with proclaiming. Amen, and making it known. I'm not saying that it's about the delivery or things of that nature, but I'm talking about someone, however God lays it on, to proclaim the Word of God. He said, and proclaim there His Word, and say, hear the Word of the Lord. Hear the Word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter into the gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. You see, I mentioned teaching. I'm not against teaching. I love to teach Sunday school. I believe that it helps us grow as preachers to teach. And I believe, and Brother Don McCann told me one time, he said, if you're preaching, don't teach something, you're not preaching. I agree 100% with that. Amen. It ought to teach us something. Amen. It ought to show us something. But you know, I believe one of the things that stands out to me, the difference between just teaching and preaching is that preaching brings you to a decision. Amen. Preaching brings you to Calvary. Preaching brings you as a Christian to that crossroads between the old paths and the new paths. And it says, hey, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to go with the old paths? Are you going to go with something new and improve? Amen. And here he's saying, amend your ways. He's saying, repent. It's time for a change. Amen. He's saying that GPS I was talking about earlier, it's time to put in some new coordinates, amen, or time to backtrack, amen. God sends a message. The message, thus saith the Lord. Number two tonight, look there, the next word, stand. Stand ye in the ways. I believe today, God wants some young people that's going to stand. I remember growing up that these people that preached the Word of God, these men of God that preached, and the emphatic, and I believe that means without apology, amen, that they preached without apology, amen, and they loved God, and they was on fire for God, that made an impact on me, Amen. And it encouraged me to take a stand. And my heart's desire is that we as a church, amen. And Elijah said those older people, amen. Amen. Would be a light and an example to these younger people coming on to take a stand. Because there's a lot of wickedness out there today. There's a lot of people, amen, that desires for them to take those new ways. The ways that have not been proven. The ways that are not of God. Amen. The ways that seem attractive and they seem kind of like a shortcut. The ways that seem that they come out good. But friend, they're not the old paths. They're not God's way. Amen. And so I've heard this said before. I believe that it will hold up. It says that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. I agree with the statement that we need, amen, to be very tactful as Christians. Amen. And as we deal with the lost, we need to be very aware, amen, of the fact that, yeah, they're lost. They need to be saved. And we're not going to intentionally make them mad. We're not going to be mean to them. We're not going to fuss at them like we've talked about. You know, the service coming up, a lot of times that's the only time people come to church. Amen. We're going to be as good, amen, as we possibly can. Amen. The people that, like that. But friend, at the same time, we're not going to back down from what we believe. Amen. Amen. We're going to still stand. Amen. We're not going to preach. Amen. One way here, amen, and preaching to me tonight, preaching to a preacher, amen, I were to preach the same way and preach the same message and preach against and preach for the same things I do here as when I go somewhere else and preach and be consistent in our message. It's called taking a stand. And you know what? It's not that hard. You know, in the world, you take a stand for something and it's a little bit wavery because it may depend on somebody else's word backing you up. But when you're standing on this book, it'll never fail. As a matter of fact, whenever it's brought into question, all you have to do is say, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. It's not me. It's not me saying it. It's God saying it. God's the one that's already made the decision on it. It's not up for our debate. It's not up for our deliberation. But God's already declared it. God's already settled it. Amen. And it is true. And we can stand on it. Ephesians chapter number 6. We know as... amen, the armor of God. But I want you to take note, and I'm sure you have, the times that stand is mentioned here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, those new paths, I believe the wiles of the devil make those look very attractive. Make it look very good, just like he did to Eve in the garden. And that's the cunningness of the devil, the wiles, the tactics, the trickery, deception of the devil. And he says, you need to stand against it. Amen. And verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me just say something tonight. Amen. People think that they can just go whoop up on the devil. You know, kindly speaking of in their own sense and in their own regards, friend, you're no match for the devil on your own. Amen. You're not just going to waltz up to the devil and give him a black eye. Amen. You got to have the power of God. Amen. You got to have the Lord. And so here it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And I count that as standing. Withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And so we see here, stand, and I count withstand in verse 13 four times. Amen. This passage leading up even to what it considers the armor of God here. I believe just as much as what the armor of God that we're wearing is and what it means and what it represents, I believe it's just as important that we stand. That armor's not going to do you any good when you're not standing. Half the battle, it seems here, it's just standing. Standing on the promises. I love that song of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest. Amen. Standing on the promises of God. Amen. We need to stand. And so stand for the young people, stand for the old people, stand for everybody because there's spiritual warfare. Amen. I believe we need to stand in the church. We need to stand in the home. Amen. The battle in the home today. We need to stand in the workplace. We need to stand wherever we go. We need to stand for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Play some good songs about standing, ain't they? But I see the shape that we're in today. I'm going to go all the way back to all this liquor and booze and everything. How come you go down the food city and there's liquor and alcohol and everything else? Somebody failed to take a stand along the way. How come that it's so-called legal for a man to marry a man? Somebody failed to take a stand along the way. You say, well, you ought not to get into politics. Like I said this morning, brother, I don't even think it's politics. When they started killing babies, amen, when they started getting into, amen, God's law, amen, you forget about politics, amen, let judgment begin at the house of God. I believe God's given us the authority on those things, amen. We can stand on it unapologetically. Stand. Stand on the Word of God. Someone failed to stand, though, along the way. And so here in our text, stand ye in the ways and see. And see, like I said, I'm just going to preach through this text. That's all God's given is this text here. Stand your ways and see. And I thought about the story of Elisha. You remember Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha. Whenever the Syrians had warred against Israel. And we see that today. Amen. This world hates Israel. But anyway, they had warred against Israel. And just for sake of time, I'll abbreviate it tonight and paraphrase. They had warred against Israel, and the king of Assyria, the king of Syria thought that there was a spy amongst them. He said, is there a spy that's telling us everything? Because Israel was always one step ahead of them. And they said, no, we don't have a spy, but it's that man of God down there. He's getting his information from somewhere else besides here. God's speaking to him, amen. God's giving him his message. And so that king, he couldn't understand that. He was going crazy. And so he said, well, we'll solve that real quick. We'll get rid of him. We'll get rid of our problem. That's the wrong thing to do, friend. You don't mess with God's man. Amen. Amen. So they went down there. They thought they was just going to get rid of that prophet, sweep him under the rug, and they go all about their business, whooping up on the children of Israel. And so they sent their chariots, and they sent all their best down there, and they encamped around Elisha, the man of God. And the servant got up in the morning, and he said, alas, master, how shall we do? And the man of God said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I believe that's the Old Testament equivalent, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Remember, I was talking about earlier how you can't face the devil. But you know what? The one that lives on the inside, amen, the one that dwells within us, that inhabits us, amen, he is the one that can face the devil, amen. He's the one that can stand up. And you know what? God was able to open the eyes of that servant, and he saw the horses and chariots of fire that was surrounded about Elisha that was there on their side. You know what? The enemy can encroach around us today, and it seems that way. You know the first message I preached here is don't look at what you can see. If we ain't careful, we'll look at those things. We need to look beyond that to the spiritual realm. See, we've got more on our side, amen, to help us, and that we can see. We see, we understand, comprehend. I want you to think about that word see. I had a good friend of mine, a preacher friend, and he was physically blind. And he still is today. When he preached, he'd get up and his dad would read the scriptures. And he'd preach the word of God and preach the message. And it was a blessing to hear him preach. But you know what? Through the years when we was going to church with him, you'd hear people make the comments, well, I just don't see how that he could preach not seeing and being able to read stuff. And I just want to give him that, what do you call it, the right hand of fellowship just with your fingers closed, amen? But you know what? The answer to that was he just sees a little different than you think. He can still see. And so tonight I'm saying in the spiritual realm, do we see those old paths? Do we have a spiritual vision to where we can see God's path for you and I? So I'm hurrying tonight. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Amen. Asking, I believe, speaks of prayer. Not some lay me down to sleep prayer, but I'm talking about a prayer that gets a hold of God, crying out to God. The one that come to my mind was Moses whenever they had left Egypt and crossed over the Red Sea, and they had come across, amen, where there was no water. And then when they finally come to where there was some water, it was bitter. The Bible says that Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When that tree was cast into those waters, the bitter waters were made sweet. You know, he was willing to intercede on the behalf of his people. Amen. And I wonder tonight if we as God's people, are we willing to pray? Are we willing to ask for those old paths? Are we willing to cry out to God? Amen. And not some little three-second prayer every now and then, but I'm talking about earnest, amen, dedicated prayer to where you need something from God. Amen. And you realize that prayer, amen, is the key that's going to unlock that. Amen. Prayer is something I believe we are missing in this generation. Amen. Prayer is something I believe that if we want to have revival, we're talking about it, it's going to be accompanied by prayer. We're going to get on our knees as a church, and we're going to pray, and we're going to seek God, and we're going to beg God to send revival. Amen. And ask for the Lord's help. Amen. And I believe I mentioned it here a while back in the service. You have not because you ask not. In many cases, we go without revival, we go without the blessings of God, we go without help when we need it, it's because we don't ask God. We think to go ask the doctor. Amen. We'll ask our family members to help us. We'll ask everybody in the world to help us, but do we go to God? I'm talking about over even the simplest little things. Ask God to help us. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Amen. Are you praying in the will of God? I know that tonight, whenever we talk about prayer, one of the things I hear mentioned a lot, the Bible says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And as long, if you're praying for a sinner to be saved, you know you're praying in the will of God. And God showed me this about this text. If you're praying and asking for the old paths, you're praying in the will of God. Amen? Ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And so tonight, as we're trying to wind things up, it says, the old paths, where is the good way? Amen. The good way, I believe, here is God's way. If it's God's way, I believe it's a good way. Amen. Amen. In Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, I believe I could quote it, but I want to make sure I get it right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. We need God's will in our life. Amen. But what people, they want to skip, amen, the part about that that's sanctified, amen, the holiness and all those things that it talks about there. We just want to go straight to God's will, amen, and have the easy way out. But friend, that's not how it works. We need the will of God in our life. Amen, because that's the good way. You say, well, what is the old paths? And tonight, y'all know how I am, my nature. I'm just an old country boy. I like old-fashioned things. But that don't make me an old-fashioned, old-time Christian. That don't mean that I'm on the old paths. And what I'm saying is that these old paths or being an old-time Christian isn't a matter of taste or flavor or dress or anything of that. I believe in those things. I believe we ought to look like a Christian. I believe we ought to talk like a Christian. Amen. But those things, amen, in which I believe it's talking about these old paths that we need to walk in and stand in them, it's about the matter of our heart, about our walk and our talk and how we serve Him. And He says here, stand ye in ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. Amen. I know that our Christian life, I tell you, I'm just going to close this thing down tonight. I bit off way more than I could chew. But you know, as Christians, you know, we think about the easy road. That's what keeps coming to my mind. When I was studying this, people are looking for the easy road. They're looking for the way that's easy. And just because, amen, it's the will of God doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Just because it's these old paths that we're talking about here doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Amen. But I tell you what, There'll be rest like none other. He says, and you shall find rest for your souls. But this is one of the saddest parts in the Bible that I've ever seen. But they said, we will not walk therein. Their refusal to walk in the old paths. I believe as Americans today and as Christians, we see ourselves as a people that are prideful, that take pride in sin, amen, and that want to do it their own way. And the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Amen. But I tell you what, I believe that as God's people, amen, we will go God's way. We'll listen to His message, amen, and stick with the old paths. And that's my heart's desire, is to stick with the old paths. Amen. To get in the old paths and go with the things of God. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the precious Word of God. We ask tonight, God, that You would help us. And God, that You would make application to our heart, Lord, concerning the message. Thank You for what You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.